Why just listen to the show when you can watch it? See the show now at KidTV.com. Kid Craddock in the morning.
All right, we are waiting on the arrival of huge mega movie star Seth Rogen. He's coming in. Who's coming with him?
Evan Goldberg.
Oh, Evan's going to be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Evan wrote and directed and produced this with Seth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. The movie's called This Is the End with Seth Rogen and James Franco and Jay, how do you say it?
Baruchel. Yeah, he is the most famous person that I didn't know his name until we looked it up. Because I watch him in everything. I love him.
It's funny because he plays like the outsider in this movie with all these Hollywood insiders. He's the outsider. But was he in the cancer movie, the funny cancer movie?
I don't think.
50-50.
If he was, he was not the main character. But he was in that Sorcerer's Apprentice with the guy that just lost everything.
McLovin?
No. But anyway, it was a good movie, and it got a lot of... Who's the guy?
So Danny McBride's in this movie, Craig Robinson, Michael Cera, Emma Watson, Mindy Kaling, Rihanna...
Mm-hmm. For a second.
Paul Rudd, Channing Tatum, Kevin Hart.
Right.
And they're all just there to get killed, because they're at a party at James Franco's house in the movie, and everybody kind of plays themselves. I can't wait to talk about this with him. We have a two-way radio, and we've got a guy out there waiting for him to come in. Hey, Trey, it's Kid.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't curse.
What walkie-talkie system is this?
Is it turned on?
Battery.
It was working earlier.
Hey, Trey, it's Kid. Are you there? Over.
You didn't say come in.
Breaker. You need to do breaker.
10-4.
How about you, good buddy?
Hey, Belieber.
I used to know all the CB codes.
That's his code name?
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing at all.
My daddy was the Golden Eagle.
What's going on here?
Ask him what his 1020 is.
What if it's the end of the world and it just hadn't hit us yet?
Mm. It's turned on now.
Hey, Trey. It better not work for you.
Maybe only answers to...
What if Seth Rogen kidnapped Trey?
I think we made this whole
lucky
thing up. I don't think we ever had Seth Rogen. All these people just come down here and stuff. Hey, Trey, it's Kid Craddock. Over. Hit Trey, him. What's your 20? Over.
He's in the back hallways.
You're walking through the back hallways with Seth Rogen.
It's our underground tunnel.
Don't take him in the guest bathroom. Do not repeat. Do not take him in the guest bathroom. Al just left there. Okay. I guess that's okay.
I think we have a bad signal in the hallways.
15 seconds away.
Okay. 15 seconds.
Oh, 14.
That's very precise.
13.
What do we do to get ready?
Trey, how about in the hallway?
How about now? How far now?
12 seconds.
12 seconds? All right.
Just enough time for you guys to put your lip gloss on.
Trey, it's
makeup.
Kid. How about now? How far away are you now?
I know the answer for Everybody Talks.
We're not playing that.
We're not playing that game today.
Yeah. Trey's got jokes.
Look at Trey.
Trey thinks he's funny.
See, that's the thing. When he's walking with Seth Rogen, he's like all this pressure to be funny.
Yeah.
But he's not.
Trey, for Everybody Talks, what do you believe the answer to be?
Ah, there they are.
Hey. Here they come.
Hey.
Sorry, I'm on the CB radio.
High five.
Here comes Seth. We're live on the air right now, Seth.
Welcome.
Hey, guys. Hi, Evan. Good to see you. How you doing? Good to see you again.
What's up, man? Yeah. What's going on, man?
It's Seth Rogen in the studio.
Yeah.
And they're pressing their faces up to the glass outside to get a better glimpse. Because we have this TV repelling tent on the window.
Yeah.
I'm Seth. How's it going?
We didn't know if you wanted to stand or sit, so you have your choices.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Seth Rogen is in the studio with Evan Goldberg.
What's up,
everybody?
Evan?
Yes.
How did you guys manage to get up this early today?
It was tough, but we did it.
Did you guys go out last night?
We drank some sake at Nobu.
Oh.
So celebrities really, if there's a Nobu, celebrities will
go. I'm telling you, Kelly.
It was right next to where we're staying.
But even if it wasn't, we would have gone.
We would have somehow found Nobu. Yeah.
Okay, so your mic's on, but I don't think yours is on.
Yeah?
I hear him, but only because I'm sitting right next to him.
Let's try that now. Say hello.
Hello?
Okay, come on.
He's there.
He kind of sounds like he's in the bathroom.
I hear myself, yeah.
His voice is loud enough to go to the next mic.
Exactly. I'm sure it'll carry over.
It kind of doesn't matter if we have a mic for him, you know? Yeah.
Maybe the first ever time I haven't been loud enough in history.
Would you guys say one of the most recognizable laughs in celebrity history?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's hear it. That's one of the many times Seth has been on the show.
It's true.
Evan, what's your laugh like? Do you have anything cool like that?
It's like a little Pillsbury Doughboy.
Exactly. Us as a team is
poke
just ridiculous.
Poke him in the tummy and see what happens.
Let's see if you can identify another celebrity laugh, okay? Tell me who this is, a very famous woman.
Anybody?
Who is that?
I know who it is.
Yeah. Who?
Good.
I think I know who it is. Is it Eva Longoria?
It is Eva Longoria.
Eva Longoria.
All right. How about this one? Ready? All right. This is going to be Seth against Evan.
All right.
Okay. Nobody else.
This is the only.
Susan Sarandon. Wow, that's your guess. I'm going to say Kate Blanchett.
Think secretary.
Secretary.
Right. And Maggie Gyllenhaal?
Think secretary. Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Yeah. Oh, don't cheat.
What?
We're not cheating.
No, we're not cheating.
It's called an alliance.
Right. How about this one?
Oh, we know that one.
That was Seth's dad.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, that's it for Celebrity Laugh Game.
It was fun while it lasted.
It was pretty good.
I thought it went pretty well. Yeah.
I was thinking as I was getting a cup of coffee and using the bathroom before you got here, Seth,
that
when you are around people, you must
number
be...
Number one.
I was going to say, it usually goes in that order.
It's like people around you feel pressure to be funny, and then you must have a lot of pressure because you know people expect you to be funny all the time. And that must be very draining.
I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know. You'll soon find out that I don't feel pressure to be funny all the time.
I feel pressure nonstop just
being
near him.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Does not have that pressure, and then I just can't hear myself now.
I really think his mic is not working at all.
Well, mine was
is it not working
well,
at all?
Yeah, it is.
There, okay. That's better.
Why
I'll
do
just
I keep
talk
that?
Much more into it. How's that?
So all the two of you are like the dynamic duo, right? Kind of, except for the capes and stuff. I mean,
we got capes.
I mean, oh, you have capes.
We should have capes.
But you
only in the bedroom.
You guys ride together. You did the guilt trip together.
No, we didn't. We didn't write that. Or,
I knew that.
We were producers on it.
Well, that's the same thing to me.
Yeah, sure.
Not in the biz.
Understood what a producer does, actually.
It's a very vague term.
It is.
Yeah.
See, and radio producer is kind of like a scummy, like it used to be. Yeah. Like it was like the intern. You just say, oh, you're my producer. But
that's nice.
It's not that way anymore. I think you know it's not that way now. Yeah. But it used to be just the intern. Oh, produce the show, meaning, you know, clean up the coffee afterwards and stuff.
Yeah.
But then he'd go out and people would think that he was like a producer.
The boss.
In the movie sense. Yeah.
Yeah. No, in movie, it's a super vague term. Like, no two producers really do the exact same thing. Some producers literally put their own money into movies. Some producers get studios to give you money. Some studios have nothing to do with the money and only help write or come up with the ideas.
As producers on 50-50, we did everything. As a producer on Knocked Up, I had to babysit Judd Apatow's kids.
Exactly. But you produced the hell out of that.
So in your situation, when you are both working together in this partnership, who takes really the blame if it fails at the box office?
I mean, it's going to be Seth more than me.
Exactly. Yeah. My face is on
face.
It, so probably
it's all on you, isn't it?
Exactly.
But
I get paid more than him. So it's true.
I am waiting for the day, and I think it's going to happen where you will reprise the role of Adam Sandler in the movie, what was it called that you did with him?
Funny People.
And you play the Adam Sandler.
I play the Adam Sandler role.
Because now it's like the circle of life. You're now the super famous comedian.
And I get some new young buck to be my...
Why not?
Yeah.
Who would that new young buck be?
Maybe somebody in this room.
Maybe one of you guys.
Exactly. Your black guy to your immediate left.
Some bucks younger than others in this room.
Exactly.
I'm less talented, but I have good bribes.
That's good. No. We'll
in my head, it's Dimitri Martin.
Dimitri Martin's very funny. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of young, funny people out there on Comedy Central. There's a lot of funny
shows. Have you watched that guy that does that show? Because we do clips of him sometimes. Where what was the reality show that he interviews little kids and he does all those hidden camera bits?
Oh, that guy's great.
Yeah. We do him on Dish Nation all the time.
Yeah. We do him all the time.
Bill Cosby?
Bill Cosby, yeah.
I was thinking Dane Cook.
Something Nation, right?
Yeah, Cook Nation.
Howie Mandel, you're talking about Howie Mandel?
Howie.
Just announced that Seth will be directing and starring in The Interview. Listen to this. A topical comedy about a handsome talk show host, potentially James Franco, and his producer, Seth Rogen, who find themselves in way over their heads when they get involved in a plot to assassinate the Prime Minister of North Korea.
Yeah.
The studio is looking to make the film for about $30 million. How do you convince somebody to put up $30 million for that idea?
Evan's doing it with me. We got a script. It was an idea we came up with, and then we got another writer, this guy Dan Sterling, who's actually the head writer on The Office this last season.
Because it's about politics, and we're too stupid to write
it. We don't know anything about that. And he wrote a movie about two journalists trying to kill Kim Jong-un.
It's got to be heady stuff, though, that you know that you can can walk in with an idea, and people will give you $30 million to
It's not like I get all $30 million.
I know, but...
Write your check right there on the spot or
exactly,
something.
Not at all.
Make you hold it till Tuesday.
Yeah. The truth is it's not easy to get these movies made. They're generally pretty crazy, as you just illustrated, and I think... it's usually hard to get people to give us money to make movies.
Is there a movie that you guys had, like, super bad that was really successful that got shot down a bunch of times by a bunch of idiots?
All of them. Superbad did. Pineapple Express did. This movie, This Is the End, a lot of people thought it was too crazy to make as well.
Because everybody in it, in This Is the End, plays themselves. Nobody's playing a character, right?
Yeah, we all play, like, warped versions of ourselves. Right. Okay. But I am Seth Rogen, and James Franco is James Franco.
They put
and,
you in this one, Evan? Are you always behind the scenes?
It's like, Where's Waldo? If you look,
hard, you'll find there.
Are you like an extra?
Well, and Evan, you and Seth, they're always a package deal. It's like this, you're always a combo. You don't split up.
We go to our wives sometimes.
Exactly.
I think professionally speaking.
They understand our relationship.
I have to tell you a really funny story about Superbad.
You guys are a partnership, right? You guys are a team, and most likely you're going to have worked with Evan if you're doing something, right?
Yeah, but we've done stuff. Like, he wrote this movie, Goon, that came out. Yeah. But I had nothing to do with that. He wrote it with...
It sounds like you're distancing.
Yeah, exactly. No, I wish I did. I really like that movie.
You guys set us across the room from one another.
Exactly. You made it awkward.
I was trying to think of a good movie to watch with my mom on the plane while we're going to Mexico, and I'm going through my little iTunes. I'm like, Superbad. They don't have any love-making scenes in it or anything. That's all I was looking for.
It's true. There's no nudity.
How about the Liberace movie?
And then I don't know what I was thinking, because I've seen this movie like 25 times. It got to the scene where Jonah Hill is talking about drawing the male body part, and I have my laptop just like this. I'm like,
You guys were on a splitter?
It's true.
You guys were on a splitter?
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
My mother's 80 years old sitting next to me.
Oh, man. That could have been it.
You guys didn't notice this, but right now when Al was telling that joke, he puts his arm on people when he talks.
Yeah.
And Seth just kind of looked down at Al's hand like, why is he touching me?
It was a story worthy of touching me.
Al's hands.
Just takes him back to his prison days, I guess. All right. So we talked about the $30 million that they're going to throw at this new movie that you're doing the interview, but this movie you've been trying to make for like 6 years, and you first made it as a short with no budget at all, right?
Yeah, we made it. Evan and I and our buddy who went. It was a project for our friend at USC Film School, actually.
Wow.
And we made it as a short film, and that was in 2006.
Jay and Seth versus the Apocalypse.
Jay and Seth versus the Apocalypse.
Wow.
We came with a slightly better title, I guess, in that time. And, it was about two guys stuck in a house kind of trying to ride out the apocalypse. And for years, we kind of just thought, how could we expand this into, like, a full-length movie? And then we slowly kind of came up with the idea, what if it was about a bunch of actors playing themselves stuck in a house during the apocalypse, and then we wrote into a script.
And it's James Franco's house.
It's set at James Franco's
really
house.
His house. Really?
No, it's actually in a warehouse in New Orleans.
Okay,
here's
a scene from This Is the End, which comes out Friday, right?
No, it comes out Wednesday, June 12th.
Yeah,
like I said, it's the Wednesday of the June 12th after Friday.
Right. Exactly.
Here's a scene.
That's close, though.
The biggest earthquake to ever hit Los Angeles.
This is urging people to stay in their homes right now, and also reports of looting and rioting are spreading across the city.
We should probably go back to your place, eh?
No, no way. I'm not leaving here.
I don't want to. Guy at James Franco's house.
We need to stay here until they start rescuing people, okay?
A huge earthquake happens. Who do they rescue first? Actors.
Famous people.
They'll get Clooney, Sandra Bullock, me. If there's room, you guys will come. The point is that we're all gonna get out of this first.
This had to be so much fun for them to do, knowing that they would meet their demise. And, did they have to fly to Canada? I was talking about that earlier.
To do what?
All these cameos you got.
You said New Orleans.
New Orleans. We were in New Orleans.
Okay.
Yeah.
All New Orleans. No.
Which has French people in it.
Yeah.
Vancouver does, I think.
Oh, I try to do something special for a celebrity guest. You filmed this movie in New Orleans.
Yeah.
I want to do a celebrity taste.
Are you going to put out some crawfish right now?
What's he doing?
Last night I made red beans and rice and andouille sausage.
No, you didn't.
I did. I swear to God.
Have you been sitting in the studio all night?
You want to try Ambien soup?
It's cold. I just took it out.
It's cold.
I'm going to heat it up. I just wanted you to like smell it.
Who wants to eat andouille sausage?
It actually does smell good.
I'm a good cook.
He's the Ambien chef.
No, it's... So if you guys would like to try some of this during the break, I'd like to compare.
You don't have to.
You kind of do, Kelly, if you're going to do my show.
There's not much rice in there. You go light on the rice.
I go light on rice because of the carb thing.
Yeah, you're a healthy guy.
Yeah, you're so fat.
Well, look at you. You're looking great.
I'm looking okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not great.
I'm not looking great.
No, but you haven't gained a lot back.
I've gained some back.
Yeah, but not a lot.
I'm in the midst of it.
You're big in the chest right now. Like
I'm robust.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's where you, when you work out.
This top is flatter.
When you work out, that's where it goes, right? It goes, yeah.
Kelly, you're looking kind of big in the top also. Yeah. I throw that in.
All right, we have a question on the line. Let's go to Bill. Is it Hader? I think Hader.
Yes.
Bill Hader, you're on with Seth Rogen. Go ahead.
What was the movie that we convinced Christmas Platts was a documentary? We convinced Christmas Platts, the kid who played McLovin, that a certain famous 80s movie was a documentary, and he believed us.
It was Short Circuit.
Okay. He wasn't sure if you remember that.
Oh, I totally. We just wrapped a movie on Friday that we were shooting with Christmas Boss.
No kidding.
And me and Evan were literally just making fun of him for that not 2 weeks ago.
He believed Steve Guttenberg was a scientist and an actor.
Come on.
Yeah. He thought Short Circuit was a documentary about Steve Guttenberg.
No way.
The actor finding a robot who was struck by lightning who gained consciousness. He had never seen it. He just overheard me and Bill Hader talking about it one day. And he was like, what are you guys talking about, homies? And we were like, Short Circuit. And he's like, what's that? We're like, it's a documentary. He believed us for weeks.
Now, Matt Damon was a zoologist, though, right?
We bought a zoo?
Someone bought a zoo.
Yeah.
So that, sometimes that, that was a documentary. Sometimes that does happen.
It was a good-looking documentary.
Good. I didn't want to feel stupid.
No, don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
So In the End is the, This Is the End is the name of the movie.
In the End would be a great one, though.
Movies right there.
I'm told at the time this was greenlighted that Steve Carell had an end of the world movie that was greenlighted at the same time.
No, well, he did that movie, A Friend for the End of the World.
Yeah.
It was more serious. Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of more serious.
I was going to ask you about it. Did you, like, the very first scene, I love it because Steve Carell and his wife are in the car and the radio comes on. And the guy's like, well, apparently the government says we've done everything we can and the meteor is going to hit us and we're all going to die. And they're sitting in the middle of the road, and she just gets out of the car and just starts walking into a field. Like, if this is the end of the world, I'm not going to spend it with you.
Exactly.
Yeah. And she's just gone.
All bets are off at the end of the world.
Yeah.
That's what we explore.
Did you guys have conversations about that? Like, I'm sure you did. Like,
what if it really was
the end of the world. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what the movie's about is we're stuck in a house together, kind of trying to ride it out. So there was a lot of talk about, like, what would we do if we were in a house together? What food would we have?
Yeah.
What other drinks would we have? We're there for a party, so, like, we only have beer and wine, really. Like, we only have alcohol and not much water.
Right.
That would probably be a problem in my house. Limited food.
Because
most actors don't feed themselves very well.
I'd probably dine and dash.
Exactly,
Might as well.
And who gets the job of running out with the Medican card, you know, to make sure you guys are...
Yeah, I mean, why James Franco's house? Because he's great at playing a stoner, but he keeps saying he actually doesn't ever smoke pot.
He doesn't ever smoke pot. It's actually really disappointing.
How's he... How does he know how to act like
a drug dealer?
Yeah, then why would you choose his house?
He spent enough time with us that he...
I mean, of all the houses you could go to, of all the people in the film, don't you want to go to Franco's?
Yeah, I mean,
you
probably have the biggest one.
For sure.
Yeah, it's something for the ladies.
Now, I will say this, they're wrapping us up, and I wish we had a lot more time, but I don't really like bloody movies. In fact, I avoid them like the plague.
Yeah.
But... So, there's a point where you can have so much blood that it starts to get funny.
I think we hit
and
that
the
point.
The scene that I saw, that's what it looked like.
It's like the Kill Bill effect.
Yeah. Exactly.
Kind of, yeah. Where you're just numb to it after a while.
Yeah, there's a ton of blood in the movie, but it's all funny, I think, and it's fun, and it gets the audience laughs at it. Like, it's so ridiculous that it's not, like, to be taken that seriously. And our reactions to it are very comical, I would imagine, because we react how we actually would, which is we scream like girls.
Can I look forward to seeing any of you naked?
Sure.
Do you mean in a movie?
Or? Yeah, exactly. Oh, in the movie. Yeah.
Whatever.
I thought you meant right now. No. Yeah,
that's
sure.
How you got the job.
We can organize that.
In the movie.
For radio, I'll do anything.
He did a shirtless scene with his man crush, Zac Efron.
I did. Yeah. I just shot that. No one should have to do that. Mm-mm. That's not good for anyone's ego.
How's that feel? When, like JC over here is a very fit guy.
He's a specimen.
You're a piece of garbage compared to Zac Efron.
That's
going to
haunt him for eternity.
That hurts my heart.
We're going to put that on your tombstone.
You're nothing.
Said I'm nothing.
You're me compared to Zac Efron.
You're going to be going home and you're going to be like, local radio DJ kills himself after sex.
Evan, I can't ask a big celebrity this because he won't answer, but maybe you will. If it was the end of the world, what celebrity do you hope gets killed?
What celebrity do I hope
That's
dies?
A bad question.
You
Let me change
say
that.
Me. You're going to say me,
who's
right?
The last, who's the last person you would want to be stuck with?
How about this? End of the world, let's say that we're going to save like a small group, like the Noah's Ark philosophy.
Yeah, the Ark.
And so you can save one scientist, one celebrity.
Okay.
What one celebrity deserves to be saved so that their spawn can repopulate the earth with celebrities?
Mm. See, that's
Bill Nye, the science guy, is both a celebrity and a scientist.
Excellent point.
That's a pretty good answer.
That's so efficient.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum.
There you go.
Jeff Goldblum's
I picked Beyonce.
Okay, you're missing it. You're missing it with the science part. You don't. It has nothing to do with being a scientist.
That's their way to avoid it.
I would just want to look at Beyonce.
Yeah.
Is she the perfect celebrity that her spawn needs to continue on?
I think so.
Oh, she should procreate.
Yeah, you're ready for that jelly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready for that jelly?
Oh, yeah.
Just real quick, did everybody you asked to be in this movie say yes?
No.
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
No, we except Kid Craddock.
I'm sorry, I had a scheduling.
Because who would not want to be a part of this?
There was a snafu.
But there were lots of scheduling conflicts. Nobody said no, but a lot of people said
yeah, there was some
it.
People like Liz Banks, I remember, couldn't do it, and a couple. Edward Norton was someone.
Yeah, what a shame. But they have to go and watch that and think they missed out on a big party.
Mm-hmm. It's
true. Like a party set.
But we got a lot of people, so I don't think you'll watch it and wish we had more.
Am I correct in assuming you're not telling us how the world ends exactly?
You are correct in assuming that.
What's the thinking there?
Yeah, I mean, part of the fun people have in the movie seems like is, there's a lot of different theories in the movie, and I think part of the fun is slowly discovering who's right and who's wrong and which theory actually
I have a theory that's
right.
So good, I don't even want to say it because I think it might spoil the movie. I almost want to just tell you in your headphones.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe after we say goodbye.
I'll just write down a word, and you tell me if I'm right.
Okay, I'm ready.
The end of the world is caused by...
Okay.
Don't write Beyonce.
Don't write Beyonce.
Is it caused by
Justin
the
Bieber.
Canadian tuxedo that kid has
no.
on right now?
Am I wrong?
That's a cool theory.
Okay.
Like that.
And that's not having seen the whole thing.
No,
just
we should have done that.
What did you think it was, kid? No, that,
I thought it was going to be Jay... How do you say his name?
Jay Baruchel?
Baruchel, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I thought since he's the... Kind of the narrative. He's the outsider in this thing. I thought maybe he would be the reason for
he wrote Jay.
World.
When you wrote the Jay, I thought you were starting to write Jews, and I was
why would you say that?
I couldn't resist. Come on.
By the way, last thing here was it's been. Do you see? This is what we do in radio. We hit the delay and just keep talking. So you've been married like a year and a half.
Yeah, a year and a half about.
Have you discovered anything about your partner that you didn't know that came as a surprise after a year and a half? Because I know you guys were living together and stuff. But
yeah, we've been together forever. I realized how mad she was at me that I wasn't marrying her. Like, she's so much happier now all the time.
Wow.
There's, like, a massive, like, veil of rage that's been lifted.
The question would be, why would you propose to someone with a massive veil of rage?
Because I knew it would be lifted eventually.
Okay.
I could chip away at it.
I had it worse. I've been married for 8 months, and I...
Eight months?
I got it. His wife is American. My wife's half Italian, half Armenian. She's American.
Wow.
She's got that genetic rage.
Oh, yeah.
So I got it bad.
I got it bad.
And you got married and screwed me over.
Exactly,
it's true.
Said she's the odd one out.
She was.
If Seth's going to get married.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was not good for me.
I was instantly
I
trying to make in my head a dual nation joke with Armenian and Italian. I couldn't think of one thing Armenian.
It's hard.
And a Kardashian Armenian?
No.
Yeah.
Are they Armenian?
Yeah.
Dang
it.
Yeah.
Armenians have hot butts.
So did y'all have, before you proposed, you had to have this conversation with Evan that you're going to propose then, right?
Yeah,
that means
he has to do
it.
You knew I was
going
to do it.
You were like, I'm going to propose this month, and then you called me 2 hours later and were like, it was burning a hole in my pocket.
I just did. I'm not good under pressure.
Now, Evan, did you go to Seth and say, I'm thinking about popping the question?
If I was smart, I would have done that.
Oh,
instead, I just... did nothing and mucked about and then got in a lot of trouble.
A lot of trouble?
He did. He got yelled at.
She was mad. I took too long. I was the bad guy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you didn't get the proposal.
We're the villains in this story.
Well, we always are. And then from the rest of our lives, we're the villains.
Oh, yeah. I still hear about it. Yeah.
I waited 8 years. It's nothing.
Yeah, I waited 8 years.
That's perfect.
I waited 6 or 7.
Yeah, it's a standard.
Well, I wanted to wait till my kid was old enough to be in the wedding.
Exactly.
He's actually being serious.
At least my oldest one, you know.
And the great part is he didn't even know it was his kid.
I know. That must have been an exciting day.
Well, you know, this is the awkward moment in the interview. I try to get to that every time.
You just say goodbye.
Where the laughter kind of dies
down.
We wrap it up. And
we
say goodbye.
And then you just have this sigh like, well, that went really well, I think.
Yeah, it did. I feel good about it.
Could have been a lot worse.
Could have been terrible.
We like to take a minute from the interview at the end and use that to critique the interview itself.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
All right, let's
do it. It's kind of a self-reflective moment on the interview.
Evan, you have been kind of waiting in the weeds back there. Like, you're jumping in once in a while, but you've been able to watch this as an observer more.
Yeah.
What's your take on this interview so far?
It's a little sloppy. It's pretty funny. Yeah. And it's ending poorly.
He's an objective observer.
Well played.
Brilliant. You guys are so awesome to come in. A lot of people of your caliber don't like to get up early in the morning and think that doing a radio show is not worthy of their
notoriety. Not those people.
Yeah. You've always been so good to us, and you too, Ben, a couple times. And we love that. Thank you so much for
Thanks for having us.
We feel like the bastard stepchild of entertainment.
Of television?
Yeah.
Well, we made sausage and rice. I mean, it's cold.
Exactly.
But,
at least you're cooking
for us. Kid made it.
Yeah.
You're not only on a radio show right now, you're also on a gossip show called Dish Nation.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Killing two birds right there.
Okay, kid, we gotta let go.
I will. Okay. Evan Bogart, thank you so much.
Evan Bogart.
I just called you Evan Bogart.
It's been meaningful.
Oh my God.
That's a cooler name.
Do you know who that is?
Evan Quit Bogart.
Evan Bogart? I know Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah, no, Evan Bogart. He's like a great songwriter. Do you know that?
No, I did
producer.
Not.
Anyway. Sorry, anyway. I messed that up. And Seth Rogen.
Good night.
And the movie comes out June 12th.
Wednesday, June 12th.
It's a Wednesday, and it's called?
This is the end.
This is the end.
And this is. This is the end.
And this is the end of this.
And this is the end.
Forever.
Kid Craig in the morning.
The Kid Nation app is your best way to stay connected to the show when you're on the go.
And the best part is,
it was 99 cents.
No, it was free. Download it now. Kid Craddock in the morning.